This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take. With the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade, done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Former Congressman Chris Jacobs joining us. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Chris, you know, we've talked a lot about the gas ban, the proposed gas ban, and it seems like there is still this miscommunication out of Albany. The governor in her State of the State address mentioned it, but it seems when she's been asked at different events, there's no clear answer. So could you just give us a summary? What do we know that is in the works for natural gas in New York State?
I mentioned that thanks to you and Dave Bellavia and others on this station for raising more awareness about this issue, which so many people were not aware of. And I think it was somewhat by design, the way it was, the law was written, where it was passed in 2019. I was actually in the state Senate when it was passed. I voted against it because I thought it was a reckless piece of legislation. And what it also did was, when it was passed in 2019, it created this unelected board, mostly of climate activists, who would be basically structuring how the energy economy would be in the state. And now this, suddenly about a month ago, their proposal popped, which is proposing in 2 years, 2025, no new homes in New York State can have gas hookups. And then in 2030, no existing homes can have natural gas. You know, if their furnace goes, they would have to replace their furnace and arguably their entire house convert it to electric, which would be a cost of $30,000 to $50,000. And right now, electric runs about three times more. So it is a huge cost. 90% of folks in our area heat their homes by natural gas, and it's affordable. And it's reliable. This is the other issue that they're on this effort to convert to fully renewable when we're so far from that reality. And when I was in the Senate in 2019, we kept asking the Democrats that voted for this, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? And they just had no answer. They just kind of blindly follow this kind of climate religion. And it's very dangerous and very reckless to our way of life and to affordable, reliable, and safe energy. And, I was just reading the paper today, the Buffalo News, and it was very interesting. There was one small article by a gentleman from West Seneca, and I'll just quote the first paragraph. During the recent storm, I was without electric power for 2.5 days. I am 90 years old and heated my house using 4 burners on my gas stove. That is how I survived, and he would not probably be alive if that didn't happen. And I'm so surprised that Kathy Hochul and the others are continuing on this course after what we just experienced a couple years ago with the storm. This is not just an esoteric ideological argument for our area. This is life and death. And I'm just so disappointed that they seem to continue to be abiding by this. But we need to keep to raise awareness. And I encourage everyone to call Kathy Hochul, call your legislators, demand more answers before we jump off this cliff.
You know, Chris, I have to say it's interesting because I've talked to a lot of people and on both sides of the political aisle who think this is an awful idea. Is there any, you know, Albany obviously controlled mostly by one party. Is there any signal that maybe this doesn't have full support on the Democrat side of the aisle, that someone in Albany will put a stop to this or at least delay? Because I'm looking at 2025. I mean, once that's here, the wheels are already in motion.
Right. I haven't seen any indication. I mean, I think WBN played clips from Governor Hochul when she was in Rochester this week. She seemed to be, you know, I think we've heard people say things on the national scale, the issue of the gas stoves. And you know, they initiated this idea of eliminating gas stoves. And then when others push back, they say, well, you're fear-mongering. No one's coming for your stove. Yeah, that's semantics. What we're saying here is, after 2030, you're an existing homeowner in our area or throughout the state, and your gas-fired furnace expires, and you need to get a new one. You can't get a new. You would not be able to get a new furnace, or stove. You would have to convert to electric. So this is real, and they're not being transparent about the fact that they're really, really doing this. And the other issue is their goal is, I believe, by 2030 to have 70% renewable energy in our state. Right now, we're about half that. And the majority of that renewable energy is hydro and nuclear. We are not going to be building any new dams that I'm aware of in New York State. And we're not going to be, we don't have any new nuclear. We're actually proposing to close the nuclear. So their ideologues here are saying, we're going to get all that new energy basically from wind and solar. That is a fool's errand. It can't be achieved, and it is unreliable. Look at how much sun we've had in the last couple of weeks here. How much solar do you think we generate here if we were dependent on that? So again, this is, you know, and it's kind of like a blind religion that they really will not look at the data and the facts. And I just have said this before, I think it's irresponsible governance. So I don't have an answer for you. I haven't seen much change. Obviously, you know, as you said, we have one party up in Albany, but I'll drill down a little more. It's not just the Democratic Party. It's the downstate Democratic Party who is now, you know, New York City dictating this. And it's a lot different in New York City when you're in a 500-square-foot apartment and you take a train to work. You know, we're here in rural communities like that I represented in the Congress. Again, this is a big, big issue, and we just need to continue to do everything we can to push back on it, say this is unacceptable and reckless and dangerous and life-threatening for a place like us, which gets cold and snow many months out of the year.
And you know, you look at just a regular day. I mean, do we have the electric grid in New York State to take, you know, the extra stress? Because, okay, 2030 goes in, people will still have their gas stoves or gas furnaces. But as you said, once those things go bad, once you have to replace it, you have to completely rewire your home to have electric stove and electric furnaces. Did you ever see any evidence of talk of expanding the grid or, you know, doing something? Because as it stands right now, from the experts I've listened to, we just don't have that capacity on the electric grid in New York State.
Exactly. No, there is. That's the other element of this, too, that they say we need to invest in the grid. You know, it's not simple to do that. And everything you do on those sort of things takes approval. You're working in different communities. But, you know, we're throwing you know, we grow even if we did nothing as far as where we are right now, as far as heating, how many more electric appliances and things do you use, your phone, your iPad, et cetera. So we're increasing our electricity uses right now as is. Then on top of that, we're converting pretty quickly to electric automobiles. And you know, right now you cannot have a charger on every garage on your street, most likely, because the grid couldn't handle that. So that's the other transition we're having. And now to throw all these homes onto the grid, it is not feasible at this point in time. So, you know, my argument is, you know, if I was as a business person, if I was in business and I was going to my board of directors and we're a manufacturer, I say, look, we're going to change suppliers. It's going to be three times more for this supplier. And they can't guarantee that they get me the product on a regular basis. Who would ever do that? Well, that's what the government is forcing the citizens to do at this point in time. So, you know, my answer is, you show us, you prove to us that you have this transition done, that you can supply it, and you can supply it reliably and in an affordable manner. Then, you know, people, all things being equal, will choose the greener option. You know, we're not anti-green. And I'll tell you one thing, too. Our region is probably the most green region in the state of New York. I believe about 80% of what we have here is green because of our powerful hydro plant. And the fact that the area I represented has a lot of wind and solar farms now. So we're doing our part here. We're pro, you know, green energy. We just want it in a responsible way that does not make a state, people that live in a state, which is one of the most expensive states to live in right now, even more expensive. And again, what we saw, what I read for that 90-year-old gentleman in West Seneca, make it a dangerous place for people to live in our climate.
You know, I feel with all the talk of natural gas, you just brought it up there, we've forgotten that there's also going to be a ban on gas-powered cars in 2035. It seems like that's kind of taken the backseat of the spotlight because of the natural gas, but they also want, you know, if your car goes bad in 2036, it's electric car for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think that I'm just generally philosophically against mandates, and, you know, I just don't know, you know, you work, if you get the product that's good, the consumer, all things being equal, say, we want to do right by the environment. Yeah, so, you know, we'll choose that. But to mandate it is a very condescending way to deal with the citizenry. And you know, I've just generally been against that. Look, you know, electric vehicles are coming. You know, it's incremental, but I believe, you know, 10 years from now, we will see a significant amount of people using more electric cars. But I just, you know, make it a consumer choice. If you want to incentivize it, that's fine, too. It's happening. There's no need for mandates. And we just have, in this state, in this country, but more so in this state, too many mandates, too much, you know, pejorative government telling the citizen, you have to do this. And, you know, I tell you what, that's why people leave the state in droves, because they don't want to be treated like children.
Chris, you know, a month removed from Congress, what are your thoughts on the first month of the new Congress going on in D.C.? What are your general thoughts of how things are going?
Well, you know, certainly it was a kind of ugly beginning with the 15 votes for Speaker McCarthy. And, you know, if I was in Congress, I would have supported the Speaker. And, you know, I said early on, there was really some things that were raised out of the group that was holding back on support, and some things that came out of that from the Speaker that I thought were good. One thing of note that I thought was really, I believe it was in the agreement, they would no longer they would require all the appropriation bills to be separate bills. They wouldn't jumble them all together into, you know, kind of a big ugly a huge omnibus piece of legislation that is just so frustrating when you have to vote on that, because there may be a really important thing like funding the military, but they glom all these other things you don't like on, and then you got to either hold your nose or vote against something, you know. So I thought that some of those reforms, I've certainly always been a supporter of term limits. So I think that was good, some of the things they were talking on that. So, you know, they made it through. Kudos to Kevin McCarthy for sticking to that, and his team for getting through it. And so I think they're getting their footing now. It's certainly great that we don't have one party controlling Washington, D.C. now. I don't know what the prospects are for a lot of legislation, but at least will rein out some of this, the reckless spending that, you know, I experienced when I was down there, and which I believe has been the major that, and in addition to reckless policy regarding our gas supply, has been the contributor to inflation, and now the contributor the Fed having to raise interest rates and punishing, you know, every American by the reckless behavior of our federal government.
I have to ask you, you know, Social Security came up a lot this week, especially in Congress. From what you've seen, what is the answer, in your opinion, to Social Security? It seems like it's going to run out in 10 years, or no, we can sustain it. From what you've seen, what is the future of Social Security in America?
Well, I think there's a commitment from the majority of Americans, the majority of those in Congress, that Social Security is a necessity and needs to be supported. But there really needs to be, this is really where you need a bipartisan group to come together and really have honest discussion about where Social Security is doing, where it's going forward. The fact that, you know, it right now on paper, it looks like it's going bankrupt in a relatively short period of time, a decade. We need to find a way. We can't raid the fund anymore. We need to find a way to stabilize that and give assurances to those that have it now and those in the future that it will be there. So I tell you, the overarching issue, I think, you know, there were several issues, you know, if I was in Congress that I wanted to really be focused on. You know, one of them is the impact of social media on our young people. The threat of China, another one is the looming budget debt, the national debt, and this plays into Social Security. Our national debt is the highest it's ever been in our nation's history. I think it's $31 trillion at this point in time. We pay $400 billion in interest payments, and those payments are going up. Why? Because the Fed was forced to raise interest rates due to the reckless spending. And that impacts everything. You know, we see it certainly in our grocery stores, but we also see it, and it's going to impact our ability to keep Social Security going. And, you know, the last time that our deficit was close to this high as far as a percentage of GDP was after World War II. We had just fought a war. We spent a heck of a lot of money to save freedom and democracy around the world. But the difference there was after the war, on a bipartisan basis, members of Congress came together and the president said, this is not good for the future of our nation, for our next generation. And they quickly brought that deficit down, that debt down. We are doing the exact opposite. And that is something that we really need as, again, responsible governing people to leave a country better for the next generation. We will not be doing that. And this impacts everything from Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, everything, because the more and more of our, our annual budget is going to pay interest payments on our debt, these problems we're talking about now are only going to get worse.
Chris, last question. 1 month removed from Congress, we're hearing your name floated around for different offices. What is next for Chris Jacobs?
Well, you know, it was a great honor to serve in the Congress and prior to that in the state Senate and county government. I've loved my years of public service. And I always want to give back to this community and serve. Right now, I'm going to do it as a private individual and is a business person and running a school choice nonprofit called the Bison Fund here. So I always will look at opportunities to serve, and that would include elected office. I've said that it's highly unlikely I would do something in the near term in the next year, but I would never say it's out of the question in the future.
Hey, Chris Jacobs, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.